The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism. This morning, David and I will offer a Teisho, a Dharma talk. And so the instructions I think most of you know for this are similar to everything else, sitting upright, present in your practice and receiving these words. Case 40 in the Blue Cliff Record. Introduction. When the action of the mind is stopped and swept away, the iron tree will bloom. Can you demonstrate it? Even a crafty person will come a cropper here. Even if he excels in every way, he will have his nostrils pierced. Where are the complications? See the following. The main subject. Officer Jingshan Lugeng, while talking with Nanchuan, said, Sen Zhao, teaching master Zhao, said, Heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are one substance. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? Nanchuan pointed to a flower in the garden, called Jingshan to him, and said, People of these days see this flower as though they were in a dream. And Shuido's verse, hearing, seeing, touching, and knowing are not one and one. Mountains and rivers should not be viewed in the mirror. The frosty sky, the setting moon at midnight. With whom will the serene waters of the lake reflect the shadows in the cold? So this case, number 40 in the Blue Cliff Record, is a very interesting one. I found some commentaries by Hakuin about this case where he called it one of the most difficult koans. And you might already be feeling that. Some of the words washing over you may not make any sense whatsoever, or maybe something really clarified for you. This is how we allow ourselves to be fully present, to koan practice, to listening to a Dharma talk, to just notice what is puzzling, impossible to understand, and what is clarifying, what touches the heart, mind. When I first heard this koan, I was very struck by it. My first Zen teacher gave a talk about it, and it just seemed like the most amazing thing in the world, which is kind of funny because this is what one of the characters says. He's quoting a poet from many centuries before him. And the poet says, Heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are of one substance. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? When I first heard this koan, I thought everything in Zen was indeed absolutely fantastic. And I would sometimes come to my teacher with excitement, having read something or understood something. And my teacher, my first teacher had this interesting way of redirecting my attention. Sometimes he'd do it very gently, and sometimes he'd do it very fiercely. In this case, Nanchuan, the great Zen master of the Tang Dynasty, who hears his eager student, who's a government official, not a monk, not someone who lived at the monastery, recite these words to him with so much excitement, he gestures to him and takes him into the garden, and he points to a flower. We understand from some of the background scholarship on this that when people talk about flowers from this era, they always refer to a wood peony, And when I was telling David about this earlier, he said, we have a wood peony at the Hermitage. It's a very old bush, and peonies appear on it, and it's quite lovely. It's beginning to just send out some blossoms now. So he points to this peony, this lovely flower, and he says, people of these days see this flower as though they were in a dream. One of the quotes I found from Hakuin, who was a 17th century Zen teacher in Japan about this, was that when he encountered it and it was so difficult for him, he kept playing with it for many, many years. He kept having insights into it. And again and again and again, it would touch him in a particular way. And he says this, this particular koan is the gate of the tiger cage of the Blue Cliff Record, difficult to get through. If you genuinely penetrate it, then the 1700 koans are giant cookies. Giant cookies. I have to say that it took me a while to come to that view, to realize that who knows what he actually said, but anyway, this translator says he said they're all like giant cookies. What if koans were like that for you? What if when you encountered a koan, especially one that puzzled you, that didn't make logical sense, you took a big bite of it and chewed on it until it released its sweetness? This is how we encourage you to work with koans. In this particular case, we thought it was wonderful for a number of reasons, but the redirection from some idea about Zen. We can have all these ideas about what this practice is, even if we've been practicing for many, many years, or if we've only been practicing for a few days or weeks. It doesn't matter. We are human beings with brains that make thoughts. And so these thoughts create scenarios that imprison us. We think we know what Zen is. We say, oh, we read something. Oh, isn't this absolutely fantastic? This is the best thing ever. But the way to understand Zen is maybe to be inspired by reading, to be inspired by listening to talks like this. But deeply, deeply, the importance of sitting with our own heart minds. Sesshin, as we said last night, means to touch the heart mind, to sit upright without moving, to sit with our breath or with whatever arises, or maybe some of us are working with some of these giant cookies ourselves, chewing on them so they release their sweetness. It doesn't matter, but somehow Zen allows us to find our way out of the dream. I've been saying to people recently that I feel like I'm dreaming, well, recently being the last couple of months. I have very vivid dreams when I'm sleeping. Sometimes I do things out in the world. Sometimes I'm at home. Sometimes we're on Zoom. This is the Zoom dream. This feels like a dream to me. And as David mentioned earlier today, when we woke up in our rooms at the temple and we went downstairs, everything was so quiet. But it was the beginning of a morning of Sesshin. The quietness was quite different from normal. The Zendo was empty of people. And then we came over here to the Hermitage, turned on Zoom, and one by one, all of us popped in to this virtual Zendo. How amazing. People these days see Zoom as if they were in a dream. Can you actually perceive what is right in front of you? The great gifts of this world, the Zoom screen and the neighbors talking next door and the birds singing. Can you actually show up for your life? I will now pass this talk over to David, who will have some wise words on this very topic.
So at the very end of the Diamond Sutra, one of the great texts of the Mahayana Buddhist movement, there are a few lines that we sometimes chant over and over. And it goes, so you should view this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a phantom and a dream. So we say Zen is the project of awakening, the project of waking up. And one of the wonderful things about Zen, claims to be the transmission beyond words and letters. And yet, if you go to the bookstore, you will see this is only partially true. There are these great writings and teachings, and our liturgy book is filled with wonderful pointers. Zen talks a lot about how to hold these. So these ideas, even the idea of Zen, the idea of meditation versus a normal life, is a helpful distinction. When we talk about Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, these are, we say, the three treasures, the three jewels. So these teachings we hold in great reverence, and yet these teachings themselves are not the thing itself. A description of food is lovely, but it will not nourish you. All of these teachings are describing something, pointing us to something. And to enter this world, the true world, the life of all worlds that is where we already are, but requires some great effort. As was mentioning this morning, this the four steps, we might say the circle of practice, being with the breath, being with this moment, step one. Step two, wandering away. This is what happens to human beings. We are right here, and then suddenly, without knowing it, we are off the highway and lost in the small roads. Step number three, perhaps the most miraculous, is that there is a natural awakening. This awareness that sometimes we work so hard to maintain and to restore and to strengthen happens naturally. Just as naturally as we wander away, we naturally, in some mysterious way, naturally wake up and go, oh, I'm planning dinner. I'm somewhere else. And with this awakening, with this realization, we can choose once more. And we can choose to be here. And this is our only choice. This is the great freedom. The great possibility of choosing what is already here. I have a friend who's been a psychologist for many years, and he says the goal of therapy is to get people to choose to be who they already are. And it is this basic friendliness, this capacity to say yes to this moment. I love the Hakuin quote that Melissa read of all the koans become giant cookies. And of course, the koan of your life, of my life, is the great feast, also a giant cookie. The many things that arise in your life, the situations that have no clear resolution. Of course, there's some things that come up in our life and we deal with them without any problem. We don't even know that we're dealing with the issue. There are other issues in our life that if we work hard, if we puzzle it out and spend time, we can resolve. And then there are the issues of our life that are perpetual, that you will never resolve certain parts of your life, of your personality. As much as we would like to be somehow different, and you fill in the blank how you think you should be, could be different. Good news, bad news is there is no hope for you. You will never be someone different. And our practice of Zen is this practice of making friends with this one who has been so troublesome, who has been lost so often, scared so often, to welcome ourself home as ourself. And we do this not through quoting lovely Zen teachers like Melissa and I are doing right now. How wonderful what Dogen said. This is all temporary, is all pointing, but it is pointing to the immediacy of our life. For me, I have a great love of the garden, any garden, any growing things, but the gift of becoming familiar with a patch of ground. Could be quite a small patch of ground, could be the patch of ground in the pot on your windowsill, the patch of ground under your feet. But the world is alive, the soil itself filled, teeming with life. And everywhere you look, this life is irrepressible. Growing up through the cracks in the sidewalk, sprouting in this form and that form. And Zen reminds us again and again to return to where we are. Dogen said the trees and the flowers, the walls and the rocks are preaching the Dharma. Nanshuan said, people these days see this flower as if in a dream. We are practicing receiving the intimacy of each breath. We are practicing being close to the discomfort, the pain that arises in the knees or the shoulder or the neck. The back, this arises. And rather than trying to escape or to fix, we are practicing doing nothing. We are not doing Zen. No one can do Zen. But you can practice being yourself, showing yourself to the universe. Allowing the universe in its particularness, this bird song, this dandelion, this moment, this sensation, to reveal itself to you. So case 40 from the Blue Cliff Record, Nanshuan's This Flower. The introduction. When the action of the mind is stopped and swept away, the iron tree will bloom. Can you demonstrate it? Even a crafty fellow will come a cropper here. Even if he excels in every way, he will have his nostrils pierced. Where are the complications? See the following. Officer Jing Shan, while talking with Nan Xuan, said, Sheng Zhao, teaching master Zhao, said, Heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are of one substance. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? Nan Xuan pointed to a flower in the garden, called Jin Shan to him and said, People of these days see this flower as though they were in a dream. Zuido's verse, Hearing, seeing, touching, and knowing are not one and one. Mountains and rivers should not be viewed in the mirror. The frosty sky, the setting moon at midnight. With whom will the serene waters of the lake reflect the shadows in the cold? Thank you. So we invite you to sit comfortably, and in a moment we'll begin our Dharma dialogue. And just to remind you that we are recording the talk and the Dharma dialogue. If you have a question or would like to come forward and would like it not to be recorded, please just let us know and we can do that. And otherwise, to raise your hand, this is the time to come forward from your own experience, what touched you, what puzzled you about this talk, this koan, this practice that we're doing.
And we particularly encourage people who haven't yet spoken up to consider being brave and saying something that might be helpful to our group, or
saying something.
Saying
at
something
all.
At all, right? So, let's see what we have. We have Sebastian first.
Yeah, thank you. How wonderful. Yes, I am of the same nature as the sky and the mountains and the lake. And that makes me feel great. Fantastic. It's so wonderful. And then we read that I am of the nature to die. And I'm like, not again. And we do it three times. And that doesn't make me feel wonderful. I do prefer haze that this vastness of the whole universe.
Oh, you just froze.
Supposed to one. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I back?
Not your fault.
Yes, you are back.
You're back.
Okay. The vastness of the whole universe.
I do prefer the wonder of, yes, I can feel that I am all of that. And then.
Yeah. Well, going back to our earlier discussion about weaving practice, and a couple of people were talking about, I just wish I was different than this. And you're talking about, I wish it were different than this. And just being awake to those preferences is so important. It's normal that we would like it to be different. We don't want to get sick and get old and die. We don't want to, well, maybe some of us want to get old. I don't know. There's so much that we put in these two categories. Mm-hmm. And so just to see that, it's such a strong thing. And when we have this feeling, or we read something, or we're inspired, everything is one. It's such a wonderful escape. But it's limited, right? Yeah,
and it's so important when we feel that way to feel that way.
Yeah,
you know, it's such a relief for most of us who feel so separate. Those moments when we just walk through the garden, and or those moments when we're just sipping tea, and we stop and realize, oh, I belong here. So those are important moments, and they can be sticky. We can hold on and say, oh, finally, so I just need to drink my tea with this particular cup and sit in this chair and everything will be fine. So allowing it to come and allowing it to go. So thanks.
Thank you, Sebastian. Let's hear from Pierce now.
So Pierce, if you unmute yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa and David. And thank you for this koan, which is agitating, I think. And I don't know whether to say that it is totally incomprehensible or whether to say that it's quite simple and nothing is hidden.
Yeah.
But let me just say what I understand by it and just run that by you. You know, I think that it seems to me that Nan Chuan is criticizing the poet who has this wonderful theory of the unity of all things. And he says, well, okay, come into the garden and look at this. And he says, most people see this as if they were in a dream.
Right.
Now, you know, I thought of the Heart Sutra, which is... or not the Heart Sutra, but the Diamond Sutra, which is telling us to wake up and see that it is a dream.
Right.
Yes.
On the other hand, you know, if this flower exists in the dream, so do I, you know. And this dream is the only reality for me as I look at it. And so I think the koan is directing our attention to the reality of the dream or to the actualization of this flower, which has, you know, which fills my awareness.
Right, right.
And we might say which fills the whole universe, this flower, this dream. Yeah, I love how you get us tangled in the in the mystery of it all, Pierce, right? Because this is not about the mind settling and saying, oh, now it's all clear. But this this is a dream, this coming and going moment after moment. And yet the vividness and the joy that is right here when we don't hold back, neither concretize nor stand back from. So then there is just the intimacy of the moment, aside from all these metaphysical speculations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pierce.
Thank you.
So let's go to Corwin.
Thank you for the talk. One thing that David said stuck out in my head and kind of has been bothering me ever since. You said you can't do Zen. But how can you not do Zen? Because the very next line you say is we can be ourselves. Isn't that...
Oh, shut up, Zen? Cora.
Sorry. It's been bothering me ever since.
Good. No. Well, and the fact that it's bothering you is really excellent. In fact, it's absolutely fantastic. But this is the, you know, all of these teachings point us in the direction of a kind of impossibility, right there. So we call it doing, not doing. That's one of the hallmarks of our practice, doing, not doing. That doesn't make any sense at all. And there's many quotes about it that are absolutely fantastic. So yeah.
Thank you,
Corbin. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go to, let's go to Matthew. Can you?
Thank you very much for another wonderful talk. I've been listening to your talks from the UK for a few years, so it's lovely to be at one in real time again.
Yeah.
when the phrase of the iron tree was first spoken in the talk, I immediately went to a sense of the heart mind, tried to locate the iron tree within myself. But then later, when the flower was picked up, or the flower was pointed out, then the tree, the iron tree became something more like my body, with finite or with a kind of edge to the fingers and the arms, and in some ways I feel like what happened to me when I heard the koan was something like the play of the koan between this sort of desire to make everything into one, and for the mind to be boundless, and also the experience of the edges.
Yeah. Well, and noticing that there are images in these koans that catch us, and I love you taking it seriously. And so where is this iron tree? Who is it? What is this? The koan is always happening. So whatever is going on inside you as you listen is the koan itself. Mm. So we can trust that investigation. This iron tree of the self then blooms. How can an iron tree bloom? Of course it cannot. And of course, it is blooming all the time.
So we're beginning, as usual, to run out of time. And there's a whole bunch of people who've raised their hands. So we're just going to call on a few of you. And if you can keep your comments brief, we would appreciate it so we can hear from a number of you. So let's start with Zeph.
Hi. For me, one of the words I was thinking about while listening to this koan is the word actually. Where I'm kind of hearing this guy is saying, it looks like heaven, and it looks like a flower, and it looks like Zoom, but actually, it's all Buddha nature. And the actually is kind of, it's, I don't know. I was thinking like, it's like you're in the forest, and you find a road, and you're lost, and you finally find the road, and then you sit down, and somebody says, what are you doing? And you say, I found the road. I kind of misses something there.
Yeah, that's what Will said, I think.
Yeah, actually.
Actually.
That's what we're doing, this kind of cutting through of seeing actually something else going on here. Yeah.
Thank you. Susan Herman.
Oops. So being here in the UK, in my flat, so first of all, it's so amazing to have the session really here. Uh-huh. I really, really do appreciate this. It's lovely.
Good.
On the other hand, with listening to Dharma talks and offering something here in the sharing, so what I'm noticing, I want to have things differently because very often I'm noticing I'm listening to the talk, and there is something what speaks to me or where something is vivid and I want to hold it in that moment. And the mind just says no and it's gone. Mm-hmm. And it needs a lot of trust, listening to these talks over and over and over again. Although the small mind doesn't remember, something sinks in.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, so wonderful to say that, and that longing to hold on and grab and stick in our pockets or make sure we write down in our notebooks. But much more important, this gradual work, hearing it again and again, And really having faith that, oh, this is enough. Even this wanting it to be different. Yeah.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you. How about Bill White? Where are you, Bill? You can.
There I am. Yeah, I guess when I first heard the first part of the koan about the iron tree, that as soon as your thoughts stop, the iron tree will blossom. I thought, wow, that works pretty well for me because this mind never stops. So, I don't know if that's the intention of the koan or not, but that's how I took it first time around.
Yeah.
And the second thing was concerning the end of the koan about the flower. And I've always had a problem appreciating dreams or this life now, this awakened life is a dream, an awakened dream versus a sleeping dream. And I find this all very confusing. And so the mind sort of then goes into judging mode. So if you look at a flower as a dream, well, that's not good. But I'm really wondering, you know, is it good or is it not? So I guess I'm just coming to you for some clarification on what are dreams?
Yeah.
What's their importance in the Zen life?
Yeah. Shut up, Bill. No.
Sure.
Exactly to the point here. And we are heading in the direction. We are saying that even though we are all already awake, to know this for ourselves is so precious.
Yeah.
So not right and wrong as much as here already happening and heading toward the heart of the mystery, beyond dream or no dream, to be present with whatever is here.